Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. This will be our last show for 2013. It's the 10th of December.
You should have told people that this early. I mean, they're going to be all broken up. They're going to be broken up.
I just did.
I know, but people are not going to be able to focus on what we're talking about now.
Oh, well, I should have saved it for the end?
Yeah, save it for the end. Just hit them with it.
That's like a dirty trick.
Oh, man, how's your week going?
So far, it's okay. My son's getting married on Thursday.
Really?
Yeah, so that's kind of keeping up with the kind of putting a crimp in a lot of plans.
Did I miss my I think I did. I must have put it aside. I'm sorry I didn't respond.
What?
To the invitation.
It's family. And you and Adam both complained to me about this. Go talk to my son about it. I don't send out the invites. I'm not the guy in charge.
You know what? I'm going to get together with Adam just because of this during the actual wedding, and we're going to celebrate just by ourselves.
Okay.
Where is he anyway? Where's he at these days?
Adam?
Yeah.
He's in Austin, Texas.
Okay. I'll go down there.
Oh, you'd like it. Well, it's right now you wouldn't because it's really cold.
Yeah. So lots of things have been happening here. We have we had a whomp on markets in the U.S. We saw a big sell-off today, an entire 0.3%, which is at this point seeming like a correction crash because there's just so much money seemingly going into this market, even though a lot of the markets around the world have been very concerned about the tapering and this whole concept that there's going to be a slowing down.
The tapering has been all talk and no action.
Well, next week is when there is the first potential for there to be some discussion about some real tapering and a decision made because we have the FOMC meeting on the 18th, 17th and 18th are meetings, and then the overall announcement of what they're going to do with rates. And now there's it's like everything else. Everything is handicapped. So you got a 50-50 chance of a Fed taper, which who knows what that is, $10 billion a month, whatever it is, that will actually go into effect on the next meeting. Now, it'd be kind of weird for them to do that because even though they're supposed to be all about the numbers, I mean, they're probably sensitive about the holidays. And they did see a much better unemployment rate. 7% was the number that was released last Friday. And the labor participation rate actually went up, meaning that it's not just based on the labor participation rate. Mm. So employment got a little bit better. Still fascinating considering all the things that happened during the last several months with the government shutdown and all that we're seeing such an improving job situation, and the fact that a lot of the retailers have been complaining that their sales are really – they're estimating it being lower, and they're very concerned about the outlook. It didn't seem like it was a really good holiday season to me.
Well, if they say we're not going to taper, it might help.
I don't think the average person is sitting there at their house thinking about Christmas and saying, hey, you know what? Listen, little Joe and little Jane, you know what?
I agree with that. But they do start thinking like that if they say they're going to start tapering, the market collapses.
Yeah.
The public is very responsive. The market collapses, they freak out.
Right. But we did see the University of Michigan number for December last Friday come out at like an 82, which was about 5 or 6 points higher than was expected, the confidence rating.
Yeah.
And the only problem with that is that people don't always say what they're going to do and do what they say.
Right. And with the market having gone over 16,000, it perks up the public. They should just rig the whole thing.
Oh, as if they haven't.
Oh, what am I thinking?
Come on now. Well, you know, we see that there's been some moaning and whining about the U.S. continuing on with this strategy because the U.K. is already complaining and China started complaining. Japan was, they can't complain because they're stuck against a wall. But, you're seeing that there is a lot of these countries saying, hey, how long are you going to keep this up? It's starting to get a little weird. Now, the dollar, this is very interesting. We talk about how the standard correlations don't seem to hold up very well lately, or they haven't been. And with the idea that there is potentially going to be a tapering, you would think a few things. One, that bonds would be sold, because why would anybody want to be in it if there's not that incremental buyer?
Right.
The second thing is that the U.S. dollar may continue strengthening. Okay. And you would think if the U.S. dollar keeps on strengthening, then you got issues with your commodities. Okay. Well, the first thing is we see that oil seemingly got a new lease on life with this whole deal. I sent you those notes. Thanks to all of our listeners for sending in the information on the Keystone Pipeline and why there was this differential and why it did cause prices to go up. It was very interesting.
The logic is sketchy, but okay.
It's at least logic, you know, because otherwise it makes
right,
no sense.
There is some thinking.
So the fact is that when the number came out, the markets initially took a crack down because the idea was, 7% unemployment rate and all this. Wow, there's definitely going to be tapering. And then the markets turned around. Everybody's excited. We have a good unemployment number. So, you know, that what happened last Friday. Now, the last couple of days, the dollar has been falling. The dollar, it cracked 80 today. That's pretty significant. The euro's been going up because the idea is that there's not going to be a lot of stimulus from them, even though they just cut their rates by, you know, 50%. And the yen was rising. Now today, or yesterday actually, Monday, all of a sudden gold starts rising. You know, they're calling for the death of gold in 2014. Everybody's on the short side. You could look at the Commitment of Traders report, and a ton of people are short. All the speculators are short, very little long positions. And you know what that means?
Yeah, short squeeze.
Short squeeze. It's like a big announcement. Whenever I see this in writing, short level the highest in 6 months. Oh, it's like, okay, let's go. Because it's inevitable. And in the last 2 days, I guess gold was up, I don't know, 3.5-4%. Silver is up a bunch.
Well, it's not inevitable if the CEO of gold comes out and announces that his company is quitting the business. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. It's a commodity. There's no CEO.
Yeah. There's no CEO. Right. Well, there is a company called Gold, actually, G-O-L-D. But the gold miners have done very well in the last couple of days. And it's very interesting that we're seeing that with the idea that you have this coming up is everybody all of a sudden saying, you know what? This is a really overdone commodity. And maybe it's time to think about getting back into this, because now you can't seemingly buy Bitcoin as maybe the only other alternative, because China just put the kibosh on it. And all of a sudden it starts moving higher, because it really, you know, why buy everything at an all-time high? Let's buy it when it's sitting on the, you know, the annual lows. So anyway, a little discussion. It's kind of a weird scenario going on, how the dollar's coming down. Today and yesterday, they were buying bonds. So I don't know who put out what memo.
Well, apparently you weren't on the list.
I wasn't on another list I'm not on. That's two.
Yeah.
That's two lists.
Yeah, that's true, two.
I'm feeling very bad. Okay. Social media is moving again. We saw this incredible move of Twitter in the last couple of days. All of a sudden, you know, everybody's talking about Twitter and the crap and let it come in. And all of a sudden, it just got this spark. It's up 15% in the last 2 days. It popped over the IPO high.
Well, you know, that's a plus.
Yeah, like $52. So that was pretty good. Facebook is moving.
By the way, it's still a $2 stock as far as I'm concerned.
I don't see how they monetize this long term.
Yeah, no, it's maybe 50 cents. I mean, it's just going to be one of those things 10 years from now, people are going to look at, you believe this thing was selling for $50? Really? I just bought a couple of lots at 10 cents a piece.
It's the CB radio of its time.
There's a parallel.
See? No, but think about it. CB radios were the way to communicate, and there was no way to monetize it, but that's what it was. They were very hot. Did you have a CB?
Yeah, as soon as they went to single sideband, it destroyed them.
Right.
So somebody made a mistake. This is going to be the same thing. Somebody's going to make a horrible mistake, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and who knows what's going to be the next technology, whether it's going to be an implant to communicate, or maybe some kind of other device that is easy to deal with and communicate to a massive amount of people and whatever it may be. So we'll see what happens with this. But they are moving again. I think there is a big rotation going on and moving out of some of the things that haven't worked to the things that have worked or vice versa. And, you know, you have a lot of weird things happening towards the end of the year because you have some rules that are coming in. The Volcker Rule was approved today, at least in quote-unquote framework, in all 900 pages.
All right, I'll explain it.
So Volcker, he was the the chairman of the Fed prior to Alan Greenspan. He's the one that is big old guy, big guy. He's the one that has been credited with breaking the back of inflation in the 80s. This is when interest rates went up to like, you know, 15, 16%.
They were high, as high as 20%, and it was actually began and it kind of phased into the 80s, but it was actually in the late 70s when all that really happened.
Right, and you can get a CD for like a 3-month CD for like 15, 16%, whatever
it was.
Great. And mortgages were like 16%.
Yeah.
And people were buying it. And we had this big inflation problem, and he was the one that came in and really put the kibosh on it. Okay. Well, since then, you know, it seems like old central bankers never die. He's been involved and very concerned about the fact that banks have too much opportunity to do things that will really screw themselves up. And the problem has been that the separation of banking from trading, the lines have become very blurred after the Glass-Steagall. Was it Glass-Steagall? Yeah, Glass-Steagall was
repealed by Clinton.
I have no idea why that was repealed, but okay. That and the uptick rule, I'll never understand. But there was this wall between the banks and separation between the banks and the investment divisions, and now there's not. And one of the big things that happened was that banks were able to do proprietary trading, trade on their own money, and they knew that if they blew up, they'd just go to the Fed or whoever it is and get a bailout. And one of the things that happened is that we saw, for example, the gigantic loss by J.P. Morgan and several other companies. But the government says, hey, if we're going to be on the hook at this point, we're not really interested in you potentially having enough power, enough money to blow yourselves up. So this Volcker rule, which would disallow proprietary trading and disallow certain hedging strategies, like the one that went on with supposedly went on with J.P. Morgan, where they were doing this as a hedge, really, and it wasn't really a prop trade. This whole thing came to a head and recently, and now they softened up a bit of the prop trading, but they hardened up some of the hedge trading requirements, and it is going to go into play. Now, banks didn't twitch, which goes to show you that it may not be that big of a deal, or nobody cares about it right now. There's a lot of uncertainty about it. But when the Volcker rule was passed, you would think that, okay, you know, J.P. Morgan was up in a down tape today, and the banks didn't do much at all, and Goldman Sachs didn't do anything, the two big guys, and UBS. So I'm not sure if this has a lot of teeth in it, so we'll see what happens. But this is something that should effectively constrain the potential for losses, but also constrain the potential for their gains. That's a big issue that, you know, they're going to be looking at. So that the prop trading money that they get in, you know, is really going to be at risk here.
Huh.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Now, the U.S. government has finally completed their sale of General Motors. They're out. They're out of the car.
Oh, they're completely out.
They're out.
It's about time.
Yep. They lost $10
billion. Wait a minute.
I know. Yep. You thought they made money.
We were told they made money.
Of course.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's $10 billion. I'm gonna look right here. U.S. government. What should I look up? U.S. government loss on GM. $10 billion from Reuters.
$10 million or $10
billion? Billion.
Yeah.
Yep, it's $10 billion. Yep.
Yep. So all these politicians who came out saying that they made out on the deal, they're just lying to the public?
Is that a question or a statement?
I just threw it in there. What do you think?
I mean, the thing is that they tell you they're going to make money on it, and they say they're going to be doing well. Who knows how the books are managed these days by
politicians?
I can't figure out a lot of their math. For example, the negotiators for the budget came to a quote-unquote agreement to make sure that the government doesn't shut down and they have a budget finally in place. Well, they're going to ease. I like the language how somebody crafts this. It's not just the news. Somebody's giving them this information. It says they unveiled an agreement to ease automatic spending cuts by $63 billion. Now, they can't just say that they're giving back. They have to come up with this soft language of some sort that can go either way, you know, that's confusing. So it's going to It's going to ease automatic spending cuts by about $63 billion over 2 years. And somehow, here's the kicker, somehow reduce the deficit by $23 billion. So we're going to be having more spending than was originally estimated and somehow at the same time decreasing the budget deficit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably like how we made all that money on GM.
I mean, and they focus on the most ridiculous things already. So we had this sequester and the sequestration and the cutting of the cost because this was a big issue. And now the Republicans seemingly are giving in. They just don't want to deal with this crap anymore. Maybe they just want to, you know, have a better chance of maybe having an election that goes in their favor if they're not seen as, you know, just simply just saying no to everything.
Yeah. Well, they tried and tried and they've been unsuccessful and they've made essentially fools of themselves as a party. Mm-hmm. Because because the public perception has not gone their way. They haven't sold their ideas at all. And I think they're better off saying, well, we said we didn't like this, but we put it through anyway because we were assured. This is what I've always believed they should have done this from the beginning. We were assured by the president and the Democrats that this would be great. And so we went along with it, what they said, because they told us. And then, right. Of course, the thing falls apart. And then you can just say, geez, if we only knew better, we would have fought it if they didn't tell us that it was – they could do that. They don't do that. Instead, they just fight.
Yep. And the fact is that they don't get anywhere. So, it looks like they're the failure in all this. I mean, you look at the Obamacare and the affordable health care in terms of just simply getting a policy. And a lot of the contradiction about whether or not you keep your policy or whether or not, if you can keep a policy or things are going to be canceled on you. And just the fact that the website doesn't work is just totally unacceptable. And I'd fixed a bit now. But, I mean, that's really, I think, a very good showing of how shoddy this is. If you can't get a website to work, how do you get a 2,000-page document to make any sense?
Again, they had a golden opportunity to make hay with all this, but instead they fought it and lost, and they just look like a bunch of guys who are just sour grapes. I mean, it's mm-hmm. horrible. This is they get time to recover because the big election's ways off.
But so you're right. It's the PR. The PR is pathetic.
Yeah, no. I think it's this Rance Priebus guy. I mean, anyone with a name like that, for one thing, isn't it?
That's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name, but if you have a name like that and you manage to keep that name after being beaten up quite a bit, I'm sure, when you were young, but maybe not because you may have gone to these elite schools. He just seems like an elitist.
How old is he, like 10?
I think he's 14.
41. 41. 14.
Oh, 41.
His name, well, his full name is Reinhold Rance Priebus.
So he didn't want to go with Reinhold Priebus.
No.
He went with Rance instead.
Yeah, R-E-I-N-C-E.
Yeah.
Born in New Jersey, March 18th, 1972. Went to University of Wisconsin and the University of Miami Law School.
That's kind of a roundabout way of getting your degrees.
Let's see. He married her in 1999, this woman, and he has a couple of kids. All right. And,
could have changed his name to Randy.
Randy, that's a lot more friendly, don't you think?
Randy Priebus.
Yeah.
Or even Rand, like Rand Paul. It'd be two guys like that with the same name. No, I mean, Rand Paul's name can't be Rand.
No?
Well, I never looked it up, but it just doesn't sound like anyone.
Let's see.
What are your name? I think we should give him a random name. How about Rand?
His official name is Barbara.
Barbara?
His name is Howard quote Rand and quote Paul. I don't know how he got.
So Rand is a nickname.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that even mean? Why would he be called Rand? What kind of a nickname is that? Seriously. Rand. Unless his middle name somehow is Randy.
Could be Randy.
Or I don't even know.
Who knows? Who cares?
He's possibly going for a White House campaign in 2016. He'll probably launch a campaign for it.
Who, Rand?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have a prayer.
His name is Randall. Is it
Randall? That would be a good
Randall name. Howard Rand Paul.
Yeah. Okay, Randall.
Yeah, Randall Howard Rand.
So that makes more sense than
Rand. Yeah, much more sense.
McGillicuddy Priebus or whatever his name is.
No, I was thinking, I looked at a couple of headlines today, and I thought this was the best headline of the day, if I could pick one out to really explain what happened in the markets today. And it was pretty much a down tape. I mean, there was some things that were up, but this headline I thought really was the essence of what we're seeing with the crappy BD these days. Ready? The reason why the markets were down was stocks slide as investors take profits. What?
That's
what is
pretty
that?
Lame.
What does that even say? What kind of information? Oh, they were selling today, so therefore markets were down because they were taking profit. I mean,
they could be taking losses for all you know.
All right, exactly. Stocks rally because investors were buying. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I got fat because I was eating. It doesn't tell you anything there.
Yeah,
you know?
This is the state of the situation with these with these papers.
Yeah. Just to get back to General Motors, by the way. Do you see that Mary Barra is going to be the next CEO? And this is very important in that there's never been a woman CEO in the major automobile industry in the U.S.
Yeah, but that's not surprising.
Which part?
That there's never been a woman in a car business. I mean, you know, cars are know that women like cars.
What kind of thing is that to say?
I'm just saying. I know it's not politically correct to say that.
No.
But
it's actually not that it's not politically correct. It's ridiculous.
Oh.
There's women that like cars.
Not like guys.
Right.
Well, at least when I was a kid, when cars were part of the culture.
Right, right.
And there was cruising and all the rest of it. But
the days of the T-Bird and the...
Yeah, but nowadays, you're probably... Yeah, I don't think anybody likes cars.
No. Unless you have one of those really fancy ones. I mean, there's some nice ones out there.
So what do you think this Mary Barra is going to do? What happens to Mulally? Is he going to go to Microsoft? I don't think so. I think he's going to retire. Or is he going to become chairman?
They keep talking about Mulally. He is the number one handicapped CEO pick, but I don't get it. What is Mulally? Shouldn't you have more than just CEO? Shouldn't you have some kind of technology background? Or maybe that doesn't matter. Seriously, I don't know.
Well,
maybe
he worked with Microsoft on the Sync system.
Yeah,
is in the Ford.
Okay,
so there you have it. That's it. It's like back in the 70s when somebody owned an Apple II and then they were made CTO of the company because they – remember this era?
Yeah.
It was hilarious. How did you get that job? Well, I was the only one that had an Apple.
Well, you got two problems here. Mulally was the only CEO or the – Ford was the only company that didn't take a bailout from the U.S., the majors, out of the majors.
Right. That was
and good. So that was amazing, right? I mean he took his beating with the rest of them and but he didn't take the money. Or they didn't take the money. They all agreed they didn't need it for whatever was going on. But I don't know why he would step off a legacy of turning around a major company that was basically in a free fall, ready to just go kaput, and then step into another situation. I don't really know why you'd want to do something like that. And, you know, what would happen with Ford?
Well, it depends on Mary Barra. I mean, is she any good? What is she? What's her background?
Wait, you're saying that GM?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, right.
Yeah, Jim.
I always get the. I keep thinking Mary Barra took over Ford. I don't know why this has been stuck in my brain ever since her name came up. So don't. When I do that, just
I will
humor me.
Yeah, no problem. So the I don't know. I just don't see.
No, I don't see it either. In fact, I think that as head of Ford, to me, it seems like you could be the head of Microsoft or the head of Ford. Microsoft is a crazy, nutty company that is. Yeah, it's big, and they have a lot of leverage and all the rest of it, and everybody's rich, or were. And now – but Ford is like a car company. It's a – he's the king of the hill. Cars are actually more – it seems to me if I was running – had a choice of running two companies, I think the car company would be more fun, you know, because it has a different kind of an impact than you know, a new version of Microsoft Word, which, you know, crashes.
Uh-huh.
There's less crashing with the cars.
But wait a minute. There's also a big difference in terms of the – I mean cars are they're both almost a utility at this point, right? You need your Microsoft and you need your cars and all that. But there's a big difference in the – I think in the mindset of the CEO in terms of distribution and how that all works. I mean, it's a much different distribution channel. There's a much different process of user acceptance of it. The competition is totally different. There's no connection.
I agree 100%. There's no product in charge of Microsoft would be madness.
Yeah, I don't know why that would work. I don't see how.
Especially when they're sitting on top of John Thompson.
I don't know. Bring in
Ron, the guy who's doing the search, and Thompson's an ex-IBM executive, and he's an ex-CEO, all in tech.
Maybe they'll change it up and don't have a single CEO anymore.
Well, actually, they tried that once before.
Did you by committee? What did they do?
Yeah, there was like a it wasn't split. It wasn't a split CEO. There was like a team. Mm. There's three of them: Ballmer and Gates and somebody else. And although Gates is always the guy, really the CEO still is, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They could try some. They just got to get rid of Ballmer. Get somebody in there that knows something about the tech scene, and that's Thompson. I've been saying this for almost probably at least 9 months now.
Yeah, because I don't think that Ballmer, from what I can see, not that he's ineffective, but I don't think he is terribly effective at major change. He seems like a manager at this point. He seems like he's beyond. It's gotten beyond him.
Yeah, he manages the game. So and he's not the quarterback that you hire this quarterback, right. Not because he's any good, but because he can manage the game.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily lose games.
Yeah. We got some things I want to talk about just real quickly, and we're going to talk about some billionaires here. I have some interesting tables to show you about who's making money and who's not, and who's really got the big bucks that are rolling in recently. But I just got to mention Bitcoin, because last week – we've been talking about this, you and I. We're talking about the whole idea that, you know, Bitcoin, the Beanie Baby, Bitcoin, the craziness of it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Bitcoin gets stopped in China. China comes out with these new rules about Bitcoin not being allowed and all these other problems. And some of the big name companies like Baidu and Tencent said, hey, you know what? We're no longer accepting Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin.
Did they ever accept Bitcoin?
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin plunges from about 1250, let's call it last Thursday, to somewhere about 550 on Saturday.
Nice.
And now it's back up to 1,000. Huh. But there's a big overhang now on all this. And one thing I want to watch, because I've noticed the last several weekends, this comes down pretty hard into the weekends. And I'm wondering if, because these markets are open all the time, it's all electronic, right? If there is two things. Number one, if you remember, I asked how do we short this thing, right? And I guess I don't know. I don't know of a way to do that. I haven't really looked into it. Anybody out there, I get a lot of Bitcoin emails these days from listeners. If anybody knows how to short Bitcoin and what that's all about, let me know. But I wonder if there's just a lack of participation and, you know, buying interest and all that over the weekends that seems to make this thing really tank. And then it drive it up during the week, because it's over 1,000 again, or right at.
Well, if you knew what the manipulation was that was going on, you could sure make a lot of money on the back and forth.
I don't really trust the whole trading situation with this.
The whole thing is fishy. It's sketchy.
Yeah, it's like the poker games, you know, where they're looking at your cards.
Yeah.
It's just something's wrong with it. Anyway, I put some tables and some screenshots of some things about the billionaires out there. So I thought we would look at a couple of these. And let's take a look at, for example, the top billionaire. See that billionaire top there?
Hold on.
That one?
Bill Top. Yeah.
Okay. So this is just a list of the top 10 billionaires in the world and their ranks. You start off with Bill Gates at $77 billion. And then you got Carlos Slim, Mexico, $72 billion. And Amancio Goana, where's he from? Or she from?
I have no idea.
Yeah, $63 billion. But Warren Buffett is worth $59 billion. Ingvar Kamprad, which I think is probably Indian, $51 billion.
Doesn't sound Indian.
Charles Koch, $45 billion. These are the Koch brothers.
That's
David
Coke.
Koch.
Coke.
Coke, okay. Coke, they're both worth, look at that, nicely. These nice brothers.
Hey, exactly, the two guys are worth 90 together. They beat Gates. They should pool their resources.
Yep. Ellison's a measly eighth place with $39.9 billion.
Yeah, kicking himself.
Christy Walton. This is good. I mean, that show was good. right?
Yeah, the Waltons. Yeah, great show. I'm not even surprised you make that much money off of it, but you never know.
You don't think so? It's amazing. Oh, there must be the reruns. It's got to be the reruns. Christy Walton, $39 billion, and Jim Walton, $37 billion. All right. And then we could see how much they made.
Barely pay their employees minimum wage. That's just fantastic.
Terrible, terrible. Now let's take a look now at the year-to-date movement. Okay, and this is the amount of money that these billionaires have made year-to-date increase. I didn't take the actual one with the decrease, but this is interesting. Bill Gates is up $14 billion this year,
just for sitting around.
Sitting around and giving his money away.
Can't give it away fast enough, apparently.
Yep. Sheldon Adelson, who is from Las Vegas Sands, up $13 billion. Marky Mark Zuckerberg, up $12 billion. Liu Shewu, that's a good name, Liu Shewu.
Yeah.
I like that. Is $11.8 billion. And back to this Ingvar Kamprad, $11.6 billion. Jeff Bezos, Amazon fame, and Wall Street, Washington Post, $11 billion. Buffett's up $11 billion. Carl Icahn up $9 billion. Larry Page up $9 billion. And Sergey Brin, from Google, up $9 billion. Now, I thought the most interesting one was the daily movements. This was kind of interesting, I thought. The number one mover today was John Paulson. John Paulson, who lost his shirt in gold trades.
Oh, right, that guy.
Now he's the 97th ranked billionaire in the world, net worth of $11.4 billion. He has a year-to-date loss of $450 million, but made almost $2 billion today.
Well, he's now, a lucky guy.
Do you go home and say, hey, hon, I just want to let you know it was a good day at the office? How do you deal with that? You know? I mean, you say, hey, I'm going to take you out somewhere nice tonight. What do you do? I'm going to fly you somewhere nice tonight. I don't know.
Charter a plane to Paris at the drop of a hat.
Right. Zuckerberg made $682 million today. Daniel Beal, who is that?
I have no
idea.
Daniel
Beal did nicely at $664. I wonder if that was maybe Yahoo?
What did I
tell? Alawad bin Talan Al Saud. Made $281 million, and then there's a name that I don't even know. Somebody called Mystery or something has made $255 million. Jeff Bezos made $245 million today. And Alberto Gonzalez.
So he made what he paid for the Washington Post, he made today.
Yeah, himself.
Yeah, so just as a daily profit, a daily kind of increase in net worth, is what he paid for the Washington Post. This is a little out of control.
And he made $11 billion this year. $11 billion.
Yeah, it's good money.
Anyway, this is a list that it goes down to the, you know, anybody worth over a billion. This is continually tracked by Bloomberg. They have something on their site, too. But I just thought this is a really interesting thing. Who was the guy we wanted to look up? Was it? It was the number three guy, I think, right? It was Armancio Goana, number three.
So which one was that? It was the top one, right?
Armancio
Ortega.
Gormana.
He's probably just a drug dealer.
Let's see. Showing results for... No, I don't think I got that right. Billionaire. Maybe this is...
In Gaona. G-A-O-N-A, and you'll get it. I'm sure.
G-A-O-N-A, okay. Let's see.
Could be a Turkish rug dealer.
Well, this is Armancio Ortega, Spain.
Yeah?
Armancio Ortega Goana. He is, let's see his profile here. He is from Spain, and I hate these websites here. Continue to cite. You always got to see this stupid advertisement.
Real estate, you think?
Could be. He's, okay, let's see here. Number three. He
shorted real estate.
Inditex, let's see, known as the Zara brand. I guess it's a real estate portfolio that he bought during bargain prices in the financial downturn, estimated to be worth $4 billion. He's got the Torre Picasso.
Oh, so he's got a bear.
He's got a railway. So he was a railway worker's son. Media Ortega. The daughter was okay. So this is Inditex. Is the he's self-made. His source of his income is Zara. That's the main one. Zara. Mm. Isn't Zara a clothing line, right?
Or it a fashion is? Line? I don't know.
Zara. Yes, it's fashion. For women, men's, and kids. And he made that many billions on this thing.
Yeah, he must sell a very expensive button.
Let's see what he's got. Oh. I wonder if he's got the hipster stuff going on here. Oh, yeah. I think this is hipster stuff. He's got a kid with a tie and a hat and a sweater. And he's got umbrellas on the front page.
Yeah, that'd make you a billionaire.
I think this is hipster stuff. I wonder how much this stuff is.
It must be $10,000 a hat.
Why would... Oh, this is horrid. Wait, are you on the site?
No.
You got to see the baggy trousers and the faux leather leggings. Wait, I got to say this to you. This is unbelievable.
Okay.
If somebody can actually make money on this. I'm going to send this over to you in the chat there.
All right, let me grab
can
it.
You believe you can make billions of dollars selling this crap? Floral...
I would tend to think not, but let's see.
$69 for those faux leather leggings. Those are horrendous looking.
Oh, Zara, right. I've seen this brand.
Oh, and the baggy trousers.
Yeah.
Looks like somebody's old
I think
underwear.
Eddie Bauer would make more money than this guy. I'm always suspicious about some of these billionaires.
Look at the baggy trousers. And you got suspenders that they don't wear. This is stupid. Hair
I like
and
the,
pants.
I like the hanging suspenders.
You like that? How about the floral print trousers?
Floral print, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think you'd look good in that.
Oh, sheesh. With those big old shoes. That's ridiculous. I'm sure people do like it. All right, some other things going on. MasterCard is splitting 10 for 1, increasing their dividend by 83%, and initiating a $3.5 billion stock buyback plan. So, for the records, 10 for 1 splits don't usually have the best long-term track record, but MasterCard and Visa, you know, regardless of how much oversight is put on them and how much, you know, they get cut down on their fees and stuff, it's just they're on fire. Hmm. Everybody seems to be using credit cards.
Not me.
No. You're not using credit cards?
I have one credit card. I use one American Express card and a debit card, and that's it.
Hmm. That's good. I think that's smart. And then finally, before we get to our stocks, and unless you want to bring up a few things.
No.
Elwood the Chihuahua died.
Yeah, I heard this.
Yeah, I put a picture
there.
We have
there. A good second place dog that we should enter.
Really?
Yeah, my wife's got this ugly dog. It's unbelievable.
She thinks it's beautiful.
No.
No?
No, she thinks it's ugly too, but it's her dog and la la la.
I mean, is it ugly? Is this poor guy, would he have been ugly? Yeah, I guess he'd be ugly either way, right? So not only is he kind of ugly and ugly looking, but he's got this poor thing where he doesn't have any teeth in his mouth and his tongue just hangs out.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't even like looking at pictures of him. It makes me sick.
It's the funniest looking thing. Anyway, all right. What else is going on? Anything for the end of the year? Anything happening at the end of the year? What's going on with all this cold weather we have? And what happened with the global warming?
Well, Adam Curry and I, for the No Agenda Show, we jumped on the old 70s meme of global cooling.
Oh,
I think it makes more sense. And if you did any research, you'll find out that the people that were involved in the global cooling promotion meme of the 70s, half of them went to the global warming side. The other half did not. They still promote the possibility or the prediction that we're going to have a small ice age. And now apparently the temperatures in Antarctica are setting all kinds of records that nobody wants to talk about for lows.
Let me ask you something. You know, the whole discussion on global warming has been all about the human intervention and how we're, you know, spitting out all this, you know, bad carbon and this, you know, utilizing, of course, we're killing the ozone layer by the spray cans, right? All this stuff, right? This is human, it's human based. And cutting down the trees and the rainforest and all the other things that go along with this, right? How about this for a theory? All these people that are involved in either the global cooling or the global warming are the reason for either side. The global cooling people have caused such a ruckus that they actually thought that maybe they should do things to heat up the world. They did too much, and now they get all sorts of opposite effects. And the global warming people obviously really kicked it up, and now we're getting cooling. So how about both sides just go away?
Back off.
Yeah. Maybe it's their fault. We should have like a anti-global something or other where we just want these people to stop, both sides. Just outlaw the whole idea of this global heat issue. People are so concerned about the global heat issue. You know, it's getting hotter, it's getting colder. You know, we're talking, by the way, if let's get to the bare facts. If we have really a global warming situation, in what year or in how many years is it going to get to be a point that it is unbearable that we're all cooking? We're talking what, 1,000 years?
You have to talk to these people about that. And they're so adamant because, you know, the small survey of scientists that was questioned, oh, they all agree, but they were the ones that were on the mailing list, but that's got nothing to do with it. Anyway, this is not a show to be talking about that.
No. I just thought I'd, you know, you got me under
my button going. Very worked up, apparently.
All right, let's go to the stocks and see what's going on. Now, first of all, I'll mention we both decided that we're going to wipe the slate clean. So we start with a brand new batch, and we will start with zero stocks in the beginning of next year. Isn't that what we decided?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start new. Now, of course, you can see these at all times over at DH Unplugged. Just click on the little button there that says you can see these by – you click on the button that says donate bitcoins, and then you can see this. You know what? By the way, I just want to say, we now have less Bitcoin than we had last week.
Would you spend the Bitcoin?
Nope. It went down in value.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, do you know that someone bought a Tesla on Bitcoin?
So they say.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they sold that and converted to dollars quickly. So you can go over to DH Unplugged, and you can see the little link there that gives you the update on this beautiful spreadsheet that we put together. And it gives you live updates of the valuations of the stocks that we talk about. Of course, this is just a game. There is no recommendation to buy or sell any of these securities. And buying any stock is a very risky endeavor. So get financial help from a professional. And, of course, John DeVork, myself, or my clients, Horowitz Company clients, may own these. And we will note that when that is appropriate. So I think if we look back on the year, because it's the end of year show, right? So if we look back on the year, I can pull this up here, actually. If we look back on the best stocks of the year, a couple are very clearly standouts. Acadia Pharmaceuticals up 93%. I think you may have won that. Nope, sorry. Nope. Spoke too soon. JP Morgan was up nicely. You kind of rode that for a while. Live Nation up 71%. This stuff is not on the list. Stuff that's in the background. Questcore up 103%. And Vivio is up 68%. So far, that's mostly yours, these big ones. Cree up 38%, another one of yours. Unitech up 24%, another one of yours. See, what happened here is, what's really interesting, you either got stopped out or they really ran.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much with the way it worked with my stuff. It was like flop or killer.
Right, yeah. Advanced Micro Devices up 24%. We had some nice.
Although Facebook. I did have one that what was that one that was like there from the beginning of the year. Like your Crinium Corn Fund is like old. It's been sitting.
Your Live Nation.
It was Live Nation, right? It was there forever.
Mm-hmm. 12/12/2012.
Right.
Pick that up, and then you had we had some other ones that were really interesting. We had Sanson Farms. We talked about when corn was ridiculously high in price and started coming down. We made 33% on that. Facebook, we did some kind of buying and selling of that. Remember that whole thing? Made 27% on that.
Right. That was a quickie.
Yep. Hewlett Packard short was the short of the century.
Right. That's yours.
57% up. Dell short also was up 25%.
Generally speaking, for this year, our longs did better than the shorts, but the shorts did well. But that was usually early in the year. And as the year progressed, the shorts were dead.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that totally.
Which means that next year might be just the opposite.
Possibly.
I would. It's possible. Yeah.
I mean, we had some good numbers on. Let's see here. What was the date we pulled this out? We closed. Oh, this is the year before. Let me kind of go up here a little bit here. Okay, so we had also maybe some flops here. I mean, we didn't lose more than 10% on anything because that was the rule, of course. I'm just looking up the list here for a second. Yeah, we had QuestCore again. We had Cliffs Natural in the beginning of the year. We were short this, up 40%. Let's see here. Just going up the list here. Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings didn't work out very well. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters made 3%. Dell, twice I mentioned that one. Chipotle up 5%. And then we had 3D Systems and 3D Printing was your pick. You were up 16% on that. Herbalife, we made a little bit of money on, lost a little money on a couple of different times. So it was generally, I mean, there's a lot of good positive numbers here.
So yeah, good and job. I think if you look at the final tally for the one finishing off the year, there's only really 1, 2, 3, 4 in the red, and those are recent picks that haven't had time to move one way or the other, and they're just minor.
Yeah, in the last part of the year, yep.
And then there's the one, the only one that I think was a flop, and unfortunately, it's your flop. But it doesn't make any sense. It was a good pick, which was the PowerShares the 3X inverse.
Unbelievable how they just keep on beating that down. You know that
and it's not a big flop. It's only 4% down, but it was a short. It was a buy, but it was a short.
Right.
And because it was a sell inverse, whatever ETF, and it was a good try.
It's only 1% off if you think about it, or 1.5% off because it's a triple. But just to go through the last batch of names here, Corn just almost an entire year with that position, up 29%.
Yeah, that's actually the most interesting pick, I think, on the list because it's the oldest.
Yeah, and we'll see what's going to happen with that. It's going to be interesting because ethanol pricing is probably going to move up. There's been some recent regulations, at least some the EPA has put out some commentary on what they think pricing should be. But ethanol levels are getting pretty low, so we'll see if there's going to be a turn there. McGraw-Hill Financial, the inverse of the reverse of the upside-down logic of government intervention, and just keeps on
That was our best pick.
I think so.
That was a joint pick.
Yeah, and it was because of ridiculous reasoning is why.
No, the reasoning was I think the reasoning was spot on.
Yeah, well, right. That's a good point.
But it wasn't the thing that most people would see.
Right.
So I think if there's anything to take away from this list is apparently when we agree,
yeah,
which I think you've only done 2 or 3 times,
right?
It's like an outstanding pick.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Let's see what else I got. You got a couple of biggies here. You got Freeport up 23%, Potash up 6%, World Wrestling still slamming it, up 41%, Sifco Industries up 40%, Vertex short up 11, Copart buy up 9. You know, I missed last week. Pep Boys came off the list. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it crashed. Well, it was down 12% at one point today after some earnings. Just a little bit too early. I believe that Cliffs and U.S. Steel are probably going to end up coming off very soon. I think they may be very close to, if not hit, their stops. Avis Budget as a buy recently back in November, up 18%. And then the rest of them recently, the Twitter has stopped out because of that big move today. And Crocs, the rumor was a croc. And
It's one of the very few times that I'd say we ever work with rumors.
Right. They don't play out.
No, they never do. It's a scam. It's like a tout at the horse track.
Yeah, exactly.
He heard something from some guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any stocks that you're going to put on the list for the end of the year? Something crazy?
Well, I mean, yeah. If we're going to do some end of the year thing, I got to. I mean, the only way I can see doing something for the last few weeks before we have to reset is cheap stock. So I'm looking at DSWL.
DSWL.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put that in here.
Deswell Industries, rubber and plastics company out of Hong Kong.
Oh.
It's going for $2.40 or something like that.
DSWL, let's see. Loading, Deswell Industries, yeah. And that's going to be a buy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the way it looks to me, the chart says buy. I could be wrong.
Okay, well, we'll put that on there. All right, that is on the list. Anything else?
No, that's all I really got.
I had three stocks, and I'm debating about the three. The Gap I do like as a short, and I like it a little bit higher as a short, but okay, well, I'll take it here. Breakdown in consumers are a big question, and whether or not there's going to be a return of the younger shoppers. And don't forget the companies like ARO, Aeropostale, and the Gap, and a few of these other names have been having, Abercrombie, they've been having a little bit of trouble here. There is definitely a breakdown. Now, one of the things these do see this year is that breakdowns have been caught religiously and turned around, but we'll see how the tape plays with this one. WPX Energy, I like that it's on here today because you've seen a nice little scoop all of a sudden from a support level that coincides with a rise in the value of oil. And you know, when you see energy prices going up, usually the energy companies will do okay, and refiners, et cetera. But it was a short just before that, and I didn't pull the trigger on it anywhere.
This is Western Potash, according to what I'm looking at.
WPX Energy?
Well, that symbol is WPX, which is Western Potash. I'm not getting the right chart or something here.
New York Stock Exchange, WPX. I see Western Energy. Is there a different name or something? Or let's see, no, it's all petroleum. It's a natural gas and oil exploration company.
A problem I'm having with it's probably I should be using Yahoo, not Google.
Yeah, it's in the Marcellus Shale and gas plays in Pennsylvania. It's owned 69% of controlling interest of APCO Oil and Gas, and they're in Argentina and in Colombia. And you know, they're doing a little bit better in terms of their overall earnings. But at the same time, you should see the longer-term chart on this. You'll see that it kind of based out. If you look at maybe, you know, year-to-date, let's say, it based out. It has a clear head and shoulders on there from up to 24 down to about 18. But it's slanting to the right. And I do wonder if this was just a very simple move, knee-jerk to some of the pricing recently and how this is going to play. So that's one. And the second one that I have on here is Titan Industries on the long side. And there's two different Titans out there. There's Titan and there's Titan Industries. But this is the TWI one, the TWI version of it. And this one is manufacturing of wheels and tires and agriculture, earth-moving equipment. And they have things for all-terrain vehicles, and they work with Kubota and a variety of different companies. But if you look at the chart, they definitely – it's a very interesting chart because if you look at the chart – I don't know if you can see it on the daily. Let's kind of go back a year. Let's see. I mean, if you look at this chart, there's been this long consolidation, particularly on a weekly chart. This is – I'm looking at daily, but there's been a long consolidation up to about where it is right about now, and then it broke out today. See how it's been kind of just like slowly moving lower and started to move up again.
Yeah, but it took off.
You got a big area of what we call a no resistance zone. Now, it moved up today in light volume. The average volume is about 1 million shares a day, and it only did about 771,000 today. But still, you know, if you have a decent short interest on this and you have the potential for a move through an area that is very lacking in any kind of participation from a volume standpoint, you know, it could spark.
I like the stock from the looks of this, and I like the chart. I like this one.
You go, oh, we doing a purple?
No, I never heard of it. We're not doing a purple. Besides that, well, it's just kind of useless at the end of the year. Let's just see what happens.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, we got it. Well, so we're basically going to say goodbye, and for the year 2013, we'll be returning right in the beginning. I'm not sure what the dates are in terms of 2014, but we'll be back strong.
We'll be back on the 7th.
So we're taking like a three-week vacation.
Well, it looks like 3 weeks, but it's actually only two.
2 weeks. Okay. So I hope if anybody has any kind of withdrawals, you can look at the old archives that we have available on iTunes or any other of your podcast favorite areas, or just listen to it right on the site on DH Unplugged, of course. So check out Dvorak.org/blog and the Disciplined Investor and all those good things, as well as follow us on Twitter. I'm at Andrew Horowitz, and John?
The Real Dvorak.
The Real Dvorak.
Yeah, I would
make
advise
sure
you to get a thing on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely follow
good
us
stuff.
Both.
Good stuff that comes out of there. That Twitter. We're not paying for it, nor will we ever pay for it, and we're not going to do any promotions from it. So just to let you know, we're not going to add to Twitter's potential profitability.
Right. There you have it.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Until
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas. Merry whatever else you do. in between Christmas and New Year. And same for everyone out there.
All right. Love to your family. And by the way, everybody, if you want, of course, you can send congratulations. Because by the way, all of you that are listening have not been invited either to the wedding.
But you can go to Amazon or Bloomingdale's and get look up a registry for John Dvorak, which is my son's name, John S., actually.
Wow, you're creative.
And, yeah, somebody's got to keep the name John going.
Well, I always thought – well, there's plenty of people that do that. I always thought that people that did that were a little bit, too narcissistic.
Uh-huh. That's what you'd think.
That's what I think.
But yeah, maybe I've determined that's not true. Whatever the case is, you can go to Amazon and buy him a trinket.
Mm. Do you know that Jewish people, you can't name somebody for your own name? You ever noticed that?
Is that in the Torah?
Yeah, somewhere. But you can't name somebody for someone who's living. So therefore, you can't name somebody – like there's no juniors. You never see a, Chaim Lubavitch Jr., right? You know what I'm saying?
Or I never thought about it.
Shmuel Chaimowitz Jr. You never see that, right?
No, there's no juniors in the Jewish community.
You know what I'm saying? Chaimi III. You just don't see it.
Well, that's probably because there was – because the third thing is he starts to sound elite. Yeah. That's why I didn't give my son my exact name. His middle name is Smith. So it's Smith. It's J-S.
Your son's name is John Smith?
John Smith Dvorak, yeah.
Wow. Most common name in the world, isn't it, John Smith? Oh, no, I think it's – isn't it – is it Chan?
Chin.
Chin, yeah.
Chin or Chan or Chang. I don't know. One of the three.
John Smith.
Yeah, John S. Dvorak. So it's not the exact same name. So that's, I think your argument falls short.
Falls short. I'm going to have to look up what the deal is. I mean, maybe I can name a kid Andrew or something. Well, you could probably name it Andrew. No, you can't even, I couldn't even name my daughter Andrea because it would be
a violation of this unwritten law.
Yeah, no, it's bad. There's a lot of laws, there's a lot of, you can't be buried in a cemetery with tattoos and stuff. And
what do they do, chop your arm off?
You just don't get tattoos. How many Jewish people that you do know Chaim Lubavitch III with tattoos? They
I
don't
think
see
there's
it.
A lot of Jewish rock and roll guys that have tattoos.
That's possible. But the religious Jews, if you are religious, they don't.
And what's the reason for that? I'm not a big tattoo fan.
It's something to my what I've learned is that it has to do with the fact that you'll go back into the earth as God has put you on this planet. Well,
God put you on as a 90-year-old man?
Well, without obviously an umbilical cord, by the way. So you're going back without any of, I think that you take off all your earrings and jewelry and you get all that. And actually, if you're very religious, and if for whatever reason, I don't know why, you had an earring, you get your ear sewn up.
You have your ear sewn up?
Listen, the strange thing.
As far as I know, if you pull an earring out of a pierced ear, it heals itself.
Yeah, it's possible. But we have some strange rules about the whole death thing, too, by the way. There's something called, I think it's called a shomer. When somebody dies, and then the body is at the funeral home, let's say, and it's getting, ready to go to the funeral, which has to be within a very, very short period of time. There's no open caskets and things like that. There's someone... Again, if you're religious, that has to sit with the body and babysit it kind of thing until it is taken and put it. You can't be left alone. Maybe somebody gets lonely. I don't know what the story is.
Because there's some perverts out there.
That's another good reason. But how about that for a job?
Oh, God. Yeah.
How about that? That job and the only other one that's kind of interesting is when you have a party and you're kosher, you have to have a watcher. It is a rabbi that will inspect all the food and the kitchen and the whole process to make sure that the food is kosher, kashrut. They're always fat slobs because all they're doing is tasting the food the whole time.
So
that's their job.
You bring them in. You have to pay them, I suppose.
Of course. Oh, of course.
Probably $100 or more.
No. They get good money.
What?
Yeah.
So you bring the taster in to make sure the food's kosher, and he can tell by tasting some.
Well, tasting and looking at the process, what the ingredients were. He looks over everything and makes sure that it's
He's eating away, and mm-hmm. he gets like $500 for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Because without him, by the way, you're not having a party.
Huh.
Right? You can't serve.
It sounds like a lot of middlemen there in that community.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of middlemen. Listen, just to get a guy to come to do a baby naming can cost you $500 to 5 minutes there. You know? So that's
you know,
the story.
Share the wealth.
Yeah, you get a full lesson in Judaism. Where else do you get this kind of stuff?
That's what makes the show so great.
Yeah. So
I'm
we'll
always
see you next
learning
year.
Something. Yeah, see you
let
next
me, let
year.
Let me say what we'd say in Yiddish. We'd say gezei gezund.
We'd say gesundheit.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Okay. I'll see you next year, my friend.
Okay, see you. Bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.